Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Monday, February 6th, 2023. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, all eyes are on President Joe Biden's State of the Union this week. Number two, the politics of the China balloon. And number three, the latest on the K Street canvas. All right, Jake, let's get to it. We are kicking off this week with all eyes on President Joe Biden and what he is going to say on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, this is an interesting moment for any president. Peter Baker of the New York Times has had an interesting point today about the shift, I guess, and the best way to say it is the shift in every president who loses the House of Representatives. I mean, Biden, according to our reporting and other people's reporting, is going to try to present himself as the adult in the room, right? Somebody who has been here before, understands how to get bipartisan deals, understands how to work with people of the other party, and that's the political reality he now faces, and that's especially evident, I would say, with the debt limit, which is the issue du jour for President Joe Biden and Speaker Kevin McCarthy. So that is the and by the way, he has strong data points. Biden does, that is, to tout, right? I mean, the job market is pretty damn good right now, as we saw last week. The economy is pretty strong, and he had a bunch of achievements in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the thing that's going to be interesting to see is, despite you know having this kind of strong story to talk about, there is some pessimism here in the country, right? Despite the low unemployment rate and strong jobs growth, as you pointed out, you know, his handling of the U.S. economy is deeply unpopular. He's also going to be facing House Republicans who are going to be have already started to issue their first subpoenas. The war in Ukraine hitting that 1 year mark, so you know it's going to be something to watch about how Biden threads the needle here in terms of, you know, what he wants to get done, what he absolutely can get done in a divided government, how he can work with Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and where there might be limits there. And so certainly this is going to be a speech that sets the tone for the rest of this year. And if not, it's going to be a foreshadowing to how he sees the rest of his first term going and his possible reelection bid. We still don't know if that's going to happen or not, but certainly everybody is kind of trying to read the tea leaves on that. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning, Jake. The China balloon. Lawmakers are poised to learn more about the Chinese spy balloon this week, and probably unsurprisingly, Republicans and Democrats have gone to their own corners, and Republicans are critical of what President Joe Biden did in terms of, you know, deciding to wait to shoot the balloon down, while Democrats are defending him.
Yeah, this is going to get into silly season pretty soon, but there are some legitimate points to make. I think there's no question about that. Number one, I had a Republican say to me, why didn't he shoot it down over some remote part of Montana or Alaska? Why wasn't this taken down earlier? Now, the administration says that they were gaining or gleaming useful intelligence from the balloon as it tracked its way across our country. And that's going to be incumbent on the administration to explain to the House Intelligence Committee and to senators, by the way, when they have they're going to have a briefing in 9 days next week on the 15th. So that's going to be this is going to be the irony is, of course, that the Chinese had balloons over our country during the Trump administration too, so this is not a new phenomenon. But I would say this is an example, Anna, of the administration of members of Congress being caught off guard, which they don't like. And the CIA director Bill Burns was in front of the Intelligence Committee, as we reported last week, the day that President Biden was presented with military options to shoot down the plane. So. And they and he did not say anything to the Intelligence Committee, which is not ideal for the administration, because they want to make the point that they are sharing information with the Intelligence Committee. We expect a Gang of Eight briefing, that is the top congressional leaders plus the top leaders of the Intelligence Committees, this week. So we'll have there will be more to see in the next couple days.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
All right, let's move to the number three story of the morning. We have our latest K Street Canvas. That is our survey of K Street leaders. All week, we are going to be sharing with you the latest on what downtowners are thinking will happen during the 118th Congress and the 2024 elections. This survey was conducted January 11th through the 27th in partnership, as always, with the Locust Street Group. Let's take it in two parts. One, I think this is somewhat surprising, Jake. Nearly all of the Republican K Street leaders, 96%, do not, that's a not, believe former President Donald Trump is the Republican Party's best option for winning the White House in the 2024 election. Of course, that comes in the face of the fact that the Trump years were pretty great for K Street as he feverishly worked to remake the federal government and undo a myriad of regulations. But certainly kind of a reality check of kind of the fever dream that Trump provided to a lot of professional Washington.
Yeah. This is not surprising that basically, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but institutional Republicans are kind of sick of Trump. We hear this all the time. Interestingly enough, I thought the question on who's the best option if Trump does not run, and that's DeSantis at 90%, Mike Pompeo at 9%, Mike Pence at 8%. I mean, just a steep drop off there between DeSantis and number two Glenn Youngkin, 41%, Tim Scott 21%, Nikki Haley 13%. An interesting survey this morning.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis, of course, the clear front runner there on the Democratic side of K Street. 59% believe President Joe Biden is the best option for winning the 2024 election. But if not Biden, also interesting here on the Democratic side, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer got 49% as being the most likely to be the Democratic nominee if President Joe Biden doesn't run. Whitmer, of course, has said that she's not running. But of course, politicians change their mind all the time. The Democratic second pick, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, at 38%, of course. I spoke with Buttigieg last week, and he told us that he's not leaving his current job.
Yeah, he's not leaving it until he does. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he's not leaving it. I don't know. I take the whole denial thing, like who cares? We'll see what happens, right? I mean, these are not definitive answers, no matter what they say.
Very interesting stuff. We'll be kind of teasing out different results from that survey throughout the week. So you can, of course, sign up for our premium edition, which that gets all of the raw details of those surveys of K Street folks, as well as Capitol Hill staffers, at punchbowl.news. Also, just a reminder that I'm going to be interviewing Kathy McMorris Rogers, the incoming chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. We are full for our in-person portion of that, but you can sign up at our events hub to watch that virtually. Going to be a very interesting conversation to hear more about her priorities, particularly as it comes to spectrum and the digital divide. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Share the Daily Punch. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. Have a great day and stay safe.